Sisters, we have a Woman of Faith series today. I'm so excited. I love doing these. And today we're going to do Corrie Ten Boom. You are going to love hearing about her inspirational story of how her and her family helped save over 800 Jews in Nazi Germany during World War II, and then how she went on to live her life for God. She really is an inspiration of what it means to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I pray you enjoy this teaching. Hi, family. Welcome to God's Word Transforming Lives. Are you wanting to learn the Bible verse by verse? One letter at a time with real life application, then this podcast is for you. My name is Amy, and I have been teaching the Word of God to women for over 15 years now. I came out of some trauma from my childhood, and it left me feeling so empty. And after searching high and low with everything the world had to offer, I always came up short until I learned the Word of God for myself. And it was in that I became transformed. So if you would like to be transformed by God's word, then stick around and let's do this together. Did you know I have a free sisterhood community of women just like you? Women who love Jesus and they love one another. They too are looking for that deeper walk with Christ and they love learning his word. If you pause right now and click the link below in the show notes, it'll take you right to the Facebook group. We look forward to getting to know you. Hi, guys. Today, we are going to talk about another woman of faith, and we are going to do Corrie Ten Boom. I love doing these women of faith because it just reminds me of the inspiration of the saints that have gone before us and that we do have a job to do. And every generation, God has people out there doing his work, and we are called to do his work. And sometimes I can get complacent and just in my comfort zone. And then I'm reminded of these amazing women who, through the most hardened obstacles, go out and do amazing things for the Lord. And many of them, you know, we may never hear of until we get to the other side of heaven. You know, we may not never hear their name. Not everyone is written down in history that's made amazing strides for the kingdom of God, right? But our goal is to be servants of the Lord. And as women, God has called us to do amazing things for his kingdom. And whether that be seen or unseen by the world, doesn't matter. Is it seen by God? And that's what matters. And so now this happens to be these women that I'm bringing forth, these different women. Obviously, they have a history and biographies and, you know, they've done dynamic things that we can glean from. You know, these become our cloud of witnesses, which is so amazing. So Corrie Ten Boom was born in 1892. Her birth name is actually Cornelia, but everyone knew her as Corrie Ten Boom. She was born into a Dutch watchmaking family. So they made watches and clocks, and they were very predominant in their city where they lived. Her family always harbored like different people, was always, they had such a great faith in Christ. They were actually Dutch reformers. They went to the Dutch Reformed Church. They were technically Calvinists, and they were just very devout in their love for God and the word, and they wanted to live their faith out. And so they were known for that. They were known for being a family that fed people, that would bring strangers in, that would just minister to people and love on them. Even before all this had kind of gone on in their country with the Nazis and in Germany. So this was kind of nothing. This was who they were. They literally showed the love of Christ in action. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to show the love of Christ in action. You know, are we, you know, out there loving the least of these? Are we a safe place for people to come? And if they need a meal or a place to sleep, or, you know, are we hospitable? And, you know, we're called to be hospitable. And so they were a hospital family. They took the wealth that God had given them and the means that God had given them to bless those around them in their community. She was the youngest of four kids. So she had two older sisters and an older brother. And then So because her family did do the watchmaking and stuff, they ended up being able to use that to really be able to help Jewish people when the Nazis did come in. So they loved their Jewish neighbors. That's one thing about them, is they would talk about how they believed that the Jews were God's ancient people. And so even before Nazism came in and before all that kind of took root, they already had a great love and a respect and honor for their Jewish neighbors and friends. They saw them as, God's beloved people. And, they appreciated the Jews for preserving, our scriptures. And they understood that because that their hearts were hardened, and they didn't receive the Messiah, we have been grafted in. And so we should have a love and appreciation for the Jewish people and the Jewish culture. They need born again. Yes, of course they need born again, but that doesn't mean we don't love them and have compassion on them and also see that God still has a plan and a purpose for them. You can really see that when you read Romans 10 and 11, that God has this amazing plan to redeem Jews, and that he is going to pour his face back over the Jewish nation once again and bring in a great revival of the Jews before the end days. And so we want to be praying for them. We want to be praying for the gospel to go forth, and we want to be hospitable and just gracious, knowing that our great Messiah came through the Jewish lineage. When Christ came, the tent he put on was a Jewish tent. He comes from, the line of King David, and he is a Jew of Jew. And so beautiful. Well, anyways, it's so cool because in 1922, Corrie ended up becoming the first trained woman watchmaker in Holland. So for her to be trained in the watchmaking and to have this trade under her belt, it's in 1922 in Holland, was a big deal. So she was a go-getter. She was somebody who kind of went above and beyond as a woman in that culture. She ended up establishing a youth club for teenage girls. And in this club, she provided Bible studies for them. She also helped teach them like performing arts. And then practical living, things like sewing and those kind of things that they would need to learn and skills that they could learn. And she would just love on these teenage girls in her community. So she just had a heart for serving. She had a heart for pouring her gifts into other people. She obviously had an entrepreneurial spirit. She just reminds me of that Proverbs 31 woman. Though she wasn't married and didn't have children, she made the teens of her community her children to pour into. So it started in May of 1940. They started seeing that Nazism coming into her territory, and things were shifting very quickly. And so during the war, when they started seeing that the Jews were being persecuted, that the Jews were being rounded up and taken away, their home and business became a refuge for Jewish people. And because they were a business that was making, and they were a Christian business. And so because they were this Christian business that was just making watches and doing clocks, they were able to kind of go under the radar of being ones that were housing these Jewish people. So what they ended up doing is they ended up building this secret room in their home that was like behind a secret wall. And in this room, it was like this really tiny space that they were able to build and hide behind a wall. And six people could fit in it, like crammed. Like, so you could cram like six people in there, because what would happen is the Gestapo would come in every so often, and they would do like security checks or whatever, and they would go through people's homes and businesses to look for any hidden Jews, anybody who could be hiding Jews or anything like that. And so what would happen is they had like this buzzer in their house that when they would push that buzzer, you had less than 1 minute to get all the Jews rounded up and into this secret room. And so they heard the buzzer, they knew the Gestapo was coming, they hit the buzzer and they would go running. and to safety. And then they would sit there and they'd have to be extremely quiet and extremely still while the Gestapo was going through the home, going through the business, checking for Jews. And so what ended up happening is Corey ended up overseeing the entire network in that area of safe houses for Jewish people. So it kind of reminded me of like the Underground Railroad, where they had conductors that were overseeing the different places that you could go for the Underground Railroad, and they kept it very secret. And it was this whole underground network of people that were working together to help free the slaves. And that was what Corey had going on. She had this whole underground network of people that she oversaw, that they would move Jews from house to house. And so sometimes a Jewish person might stay there for a week and sometimes for a couple of months, but they were always moving them from one safe house to another to get them to freedom. And I thought, wow, that was just really interesting that she gleaned from that, the Underground Railroad, if she knew about it, I don't know. And that God had used that same kind of system to bring freedom to certain people. Well, what happened is finally in 1944, one of the Dutch neighbors told on them and was like, hey, these people are housing Jews, just so you know. And so the Gestapo come in and arrested 34 people that day out of their home and business. However, they knew the Gestapo was coming, so they pushed the buzzard, and six of the Jews fled into the safe house or into the secret room. Now, mind you, this secret room was really tiny, and they were crammed in this little room for however long that they had to be crammed every time that buzzer went off, and you couldn't speak, you couldn't make sounds, you couldn't cough, like you had to be very quiet and very still. So everyone gets arrested in the house, and the Gestapo is still looking all through the house trying to see if there's anybody left, and they could not find that safe house, that little secret room. It was just very well hidden. So they end up leaving, and the Jews end up staying in there, the six Jews, for 3 days. Can you imagine being in this little tiny room, crammed together? Like, think of everything you would need to do in 3 days. Go to the bathroom, no eating, no drinking. I mean, I don't know if they even had any water or anything, but so they were there for 3 days. And then finally, somebody from the network, the underground network, came and found them, grabbed them, and got them safe to another. To a another underground safe house, which is amazing. It's reported that their family saved around probably 800 Jewish people during that time, and that's pretty amazing. I mean, I know we like to think of like they saved millions or hundreds of thousands, but 800 lives were saved through their home and through what they were doing, risking their own lives, risking their own livelihood, which they did. They lost everything because as the Gestapo came in and they got arrested, her father, who was 84 years old at the time, so he was pretty elderly. And so he died relatively quickly, almost immediately after being put in prison. He died. Corey and Betsy ended up going into Ravensbrück concentration camp. And sadly, Betsy got sick and she passed away in the prison. And literally, like 12 days later, Corey got released by a clerical error, which I just think is so miraculous. Like, God had this clerical error and she just happens to be able to leave. She wasn't in prison for a long time, but she was in prison long enough to see the devastating effects on the Jewish people in the concentration camps. And she obviously losing her sister and her father, her brother, obviously he went to the prison as well. And he ended up getting tuberculosis while he was in prison. And so though he got released, he died shortly after from the tuberculosis. And so it's just a sad story. Her sister died, her other sister didn't die in the prison, but she died later. And so Corey gets released. She's lost her family, she's lost the watch business, but she did not lose her love for Jesus, and she did not lose her love for the Jewish people. And helping her neighbors. Remember, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And love is an action. Love isn't just I love you. Love says I'm laying my life down for you. Love says I see a need and I'm going to meet that need. And that's exactly what Corey did. After the war, she ended up returning back to the Netherlands and she started a rehab center just for survivors of the concentration camps, survivors of those who were put in those heinous conditions. And what I thought was so interesting is she went right back to housing people, feeding people, loving people. And some of the people that she housed were the very people that sympathized with the Nazis and were a part of Jewish people being arrested and put in these concentration camps. So she goes back and she ends up loving literally her enemies, the people that, her family died, her friends and neighbors, died. She saw firsthand what happened in these concentration camps. And yet she houses and loves on and feeds and clothes some of the very people that were on the side of Germany, that were a part of helping the Germans arrest and kill the Jews. That just blew my mind of her love for Jesus and her understanding of forgiveness, that what we have been forgiven of and how we are to extend that forgiveness to others, and that sinners do what sinners do, and that it is God's job to judge. And his judgment is perfect, and his understanding and his truth is perfect. And we don't have that full understanding. And so we know that we have been forgiven by much, and so we must extend forgiveness. And I did a whole teaching on this not long ago on forgiveness. And if you've not listened to that podcast or watched that YouTube video, please go back because it goes over Matthew 18 and what forgiveness is and how to forgive, and then what forgiveness is not too, because we do need to set boundaries and talk about that. But this is so beautiful. So she ends up writing her story called The Hiding Place. And maybe you've read the book, maybe you haven't. If you haven't, highly recommend you read it. She wrote that in 1971. And it's such a massive hit that it ends up becoming a movie in 1975. The movie is phenomenal. I've not watched the movie in a long time. You'd think I probably should have watched it right before I did this, but no, because I really didn't want to be skewed by that. I just wanted to give a basic testimony. Plus, I want you guys to go watch the movie. So I don't want to give so many details that you don't want to go see the movie because it is really good. So I would highly recommend it. They ended up remaking the movie in 2023, which I haven't watched that one yet. I didn't realize there was a remake. So I've only watched the one from 1975. So I'm going to look for the one in 2023. And I guess they have on stage now, or they have stage productions with The Hiding Place. This highly recommend, just go watch the movie. It's so amazing. But so she writes the book in 71, ends up being turned into a movie in 75. But sadly, in 1978, she has this series of strokes, and these strokes paralyzed her, and where she was never able to speak again, like she was unable to speak. And so that kind of ended, really, her active ministry. Of course, she still had her book, and I'm sure she still wrote things and, had that, but that's kind of the last thing that we kind of really hear about is these strokes in 1978 that took her voice. And she ends up passing away several years later. She ends up passing away in 1983. She was 91 years old. So she was able to live a long life. And we gleaned a lot from her and a lot from her knowledge and understanding of the Holocaust and the war and the concentration camps. And it's so beautiful. But I thought this was really interesting. She died on her birthday. So she died April 15th of 1983. And remember, she was born on April 15th. And I thought this was interesting that Jewish people, they have this tradition. There's traditional belief. This is just a traditional belief that states only specially blessed people are granted the privilege of dying on the date in which they were born. And I thought, wow, how interesting. Now, of course, God gives life, God takes life. But I thought, she devoted her life to the Jewish people. She devoted her life to helping those that were, victims of the Holocaust and the evil that came through that. And just, I thought that's an interesting tradition that Jewish people have, And here's this woman who did so much to help the Jewish community and the Jewish people ends up dying on her birthday with them having that tradition. And it's just those little things that you think sometimes like God is really reaching out to people and showing himself, you know, like they're Jewish, but he's like, but she was a Christian. She was a strong Christian who followed the Messiah, who followed Jesus Christ. You know, and how many Jewish people would have heard about their Messiah through her? How many people would have not only heard, but also seen the fruit of one who is converted to Christianity, one who loves Jesus, one who's truly following the teachings of Jesus? And you wonder, like, how many people were saved through her ministry, and especially Jewish people that got to see the truth that Jesus is their Messiah. And I just thought that was just so cool. And then she has a lot of beautiful quotes. One of them I liked was, "Worry does not empty tomorrow as its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." And so when we're worrying, you know, we're losing the strength of today because we don't know what tomorrow brings. That's what James talks about. Like, why do you worry about tomorrow? Well, you don't know what tomorrow. You don't know if God's gonna what he's gonna do with you tomorrow, if you'll even be here tomorrow. So letting being in worry today just takes away the strength of what you need to do today because we may not even be here tomorrow. And she has so many other great quotes on forgiveness, quotes on, you know, just loving people, loving God, being that example. And my takeaway from her is to be the church, to really live out our faith among our neighbors, to be willing to open our lives up to people and extend that helping hand in any way we can. That's one takeaway that I had from her, that they lived out their faith. They didn't just go to church. They didn't just practice an Orthodox faith because they were in a Dutch Reformed church, which would have been very structured and very Orthodox Calvinism. And yet they had a heart of evangelism. They had a heart of love and loving their neighbor. And they proved it over and over again, even before the Nazi regime came in. And then once the Nazi regime came in, they were willing to lay their life down. And that's what love is. Jesus says in John 13, 34, "This new commandment I give you, love one another, just as I have loved you, love one another." And we're going through this whole discipleship series right now on Friday nights on how do we love like Jesus? Like, that's a really high calling. Well, I think Corrie ten Boom and her family give a really good example of what loving others like Jesus loved us, what that looks like. Being willing to lose everything, being willing to lay your life down, giving of your time, talent, and your treasure to give forth the gospel, not just in profession, but in action. And then in forgiveness, think about that. She lost her father, her sister, her brother, you know, and all her, you know, other friends and family and Jewish people and what she saw. And yet she goes back to the Netherlands. And continues to help these people recover from the trauma that they have just been through and aids and loves her enemy, technically, the ones that caused a lot of this, the ones that participated in it. And that takes a great love for God and a great love for your neighbor to be able to look past their sin and love them to wholeness. And be the gospel message to them because Jesus died while we were all sinners. We were all enemies of the cross when Jesus died for us. I was an enemy of the cross. I was a participant in the evils of this world when Jesus died for me. He gave himself knowing that I was one of the ones that was going to blaspheme him and my actions and participate in all the evils of this world. And yet his blood was shed for me. Anyway, and so who am I to hold a charge against another sinner? They need the same grace extended to them that I needed and still need today extended to me. So go back and watch that video or listen to the podcast on forgiveness and read Matthew 18, The Evil Servant. And that one always humbles me when I read it about forgiveness. If I'm struggling to forgive somebody, I read Matthew 18, the Wicked Servant. Because it reminds me that I have no right to hold on forgiveness towards anyone. And so I pray that her story has blessed you today and blessed as it's blessed me. Again, I just love doing these women of faith stories. They just always encourage me to go and really live out my faith and to not get complacent and be lukewarm and to be reminded that my neighbors are everywhere. And even though there might not be a war technically right now in my backyard, there is still people who have a need and there's still people that need to hear the gospel. And there's people that still need love and they need to see Jesus. And I'm left here on this earth. You're left here on this earth to be his hands and feet. We carry the ministry of reconciliation with us everywhere we go. We are a fragrance of Christ everywhere we go. And we want to be that sweet fragrance that goes into every situation and just diffusing him everywhere we go. And it's so important that we're living out our faith, not just in word, but in action. And so, God bless you guys. I love you. Thank you so much for listening to this teaching. And I pray you guys have a blessed, blessed day. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If it has blessed you in any way, would you give me 30 seconds and share it with a friend of yours? One more small little favor, if you would. Head over to whatever podcast source you're listening to this on and give me a 5-star review. That would be so great. It helps get the episodes out there to other people who may be wanting to learn God's word. Again, don't forget, guys, until next time, it is a crockpot faith, not a microwave. With God's word, discipleship, and patience, you too will be transformed for his good work. Grace and peace I leave with you until next time.